Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can I read one of your tweets and get you to answer for it?
Let's do it.
Everyone's favorite activity, answering for their posts. There's an anti-veteran strain in American letters and has been for a while. Can't say I know what to do with it, but I appreciate it when it's out in the open like this.
So it's been interesting. I'm 41. About 10 years ago, 2014, for various political reasons, I suppose, kind of the literary establishment decided to champion us, right? Or at least a small group of us. And I was among that group, and I'm very grateful for it. I mean, we're on the cover of the New York Times. We were in Vanity Fair. It was great. It was cool. I won't pretend otherwise. It was a great boon to my career. I look back on that now and realize that some powerful people within literary arts, they wanted us or needed us or thought we were kind of maybe more reflexively politically anti-war than most of us were or are, right? We volunteered for military duty. We served in wars that we have deeply conflicted feelings about, but I don't think any of us, at least speak for myself, I love Tim O'Brien. I love his work, but his relationship to Vietnam is very different than mine to Iraq, right? He was a reluctant draftee. It just changes things, right? And I have wondered in the decades since, after that kind of real nice boon and attention has waned, it's never, nobody ever says anything to you, but it's people who were your best friend suddenly won't answer your emails, or pass on an essay about Ukraine because it's arguing the case that we should commit to it, and you realize it isn't necessarily about the work, because the funny thing is I'm a much better writer than I was 10 years ago. The politics have changed. The moment has changed. And I lived, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma now, but I lived in New York up until 2021. So I had a front row seat to all this. I remember when Phil won the National Book Award and powerful people were bothered that his speech wasn't anti-war enough, wasn't, and when I keep using this word anti-war, I don't mean in like a specific case. Like it wasn't like it had to do with Iraq. It wasn't, unfortunately, these people are brilliant in many, many things, but like dealing with the complexities of political foreign policy is not one of them. They wanted us to kind of be, and I sound so conspiratorial when I say this stuff, but I'm still, I promise I will name names later. I'm just still young enough in my career. I don't want to be pissing off too many people. It's just been an interesting change. And especially since the withdrawal from Afghanistan, I have noticed, because in literature, I would say literature is like 90% liberals or lefties, right? Like there are conservative people there, but like they keep their mouth shut for the most part because they just don't want to ostracize themselves. And like, I vote Democrat. So I try not to be stupid about it. I have noticed, especially since the withdrawal from Afghanistan, a lot of people, and I don't mean so much other writers, it's so much as like New York editors and New York publishers, they're just kind of settling into kind of like Vietnam era tropes, right? They're kind of like wanting it to be vets to be victims or deeply damaged. I don't know, all the complexity that I hoped we were pouring into our literature 10 years ago, that I hope was the reason people were caring about us and reading, I don't know. It's like it didn't resonate. So I don't know. Maybe there was an answer in your question somewhat to that. I'll admit to being really hypersensitive to this, but I'm not talking out of my neck. Like this has been my lived decade is what kind of being very hyper attuned to how the literary elite cherished us for their own ends and then are just less interested now.
One thing I would say that's interesting to me, and I think is actually good news, is when you have, and it's only in the last 10 years or so, you have people who are leading New York Times coverage of Ukraine and things like that. They've actually served.
That's true. That's true. On the news side, I think it's great. I mean, TM Gibbons Neff immediately comes to mind.
Exactly who I was thinking.
I think it's much healthier on the news side. I worry about kind of the opinion sections, frankly, mm-hmm. and I worry about kind of the literary culture.
Makes total sense to me. I'm not. Yeah, that wasn't the contradiction.
No. But I'm glad you pushed back on that because I don't want to be casting too wide of a net. Because who specifically deserves credit for that because he did it with a number of people is Chris Chivers. Chris Chivers, yes. As a veteran himself, kind of used his moment after winning the Pulitzer to hire a bunch of talented vets and also kind of humanitarians who'd spent time in combat zones and place them in important newspapers. And now they're rising because they're proving we're worthy of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we had him on the show once. It was years and years ago, but he was so great, and he was a really, really decent human being too.
I know him just a little bit, but incredible writer and strikes me as an incredible man as well.
There is this idea, I think, that is resurgent in America that...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Because it is an all-volunteer force, if you volunteered, you are complicit. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the anti-vet sentiment you're talking about, right?
Yes, and it's a way for people to maintain some kind of moral purity, some kind of moral authority. People my age, I'll see it. Well, they really want to tell me about the one or two protests they showed up to in 2003. And I was like, well, I'm good for you. And you were right, ultimately right. But, you know, how else did you stay engaged? Right. We don't all have to be Joanna Chen driving wounded Palestinian children to the hospital to be engaging with this issue. Like, did this impact your vote? Did you, do you donate to wounded Iraqi civilian organizations, right? And more often than not, you kind of get blank stares in that regard. It's a deeply unhealthy thing, frankly. So much of the conflict, internal political conflict with America right now is not just what kind of country do we want to be internally, but also what kind of America do we want to be internationally, right? This is why Ukraine is on the ballot in 2024. There's no doubt about it. And I worry that sentiment, Matthew, that you mentioned of feeling separate, not just separate from the all-volunteer force and not considering us fellow citizens, but above us in some way, is a very harmful thing. And it's going to harm us domestically because you're going to have more and more vets like the ones of January 6th who say, to hell with it. I'm better than you. I'll show you. And it's going to impact. It's going to have a corrosive effect on us kind of retreating into old school isolationism, which is, again, from my cheap seat here in the hinterlands of Oklahoma, is just going to make World War III more likely. You'd like to think that we have plenty of historical evidence for that, and people remember this from their high school classes, but I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder if not.
It's cyclical in the United States, I think. I'm not that surprised that, you know, we're sort of heading towards isolationism at the moment. There's so many reasons. I mean, there's the economic stuff where free trade just sort of screwed so many people. Just the whole engagement with the world, I think, has made people shy. And then, they just don't. They think Vietnam when they see Ukraine, right? I mean, and they just don't see the subtleties, I think.
Right. And I don't think it's a coincidence this is happening as kind of the lived memory of World War II vets are, you know, there's a few left here and there, but they've mostly died out as a generation now. So there's not that kind of personal testimony anymore.
Even Vietnam vets are some of them are elderly.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them are in 60s or older, and a very different place in society for them too.
That's true. And, it's somewhat understandable that they're, you know, did America ever get over fighting about Vietnam? I'm not sure. Maybe it shouldn't be so surprising that's the prism many Americans are trying to view these modern conflicts through.
I also think that there's this thing, just maybe not unique to America, but when you are a part of a nation state and a part of an empire, which I do think we are, although it's a very different shape than previous empires, that you have to reckon with the things that are done in your name as part of that. And mm-hmm. I think that there's an instinct to disavow anything that is associated with the exercise of power. And that if you just push that away and point at it and say that it is bad, and then maybe every few months go out into the streets and say that it is bad, mm-hmm. that buys you at the absolution you need for the things that are done in your name. Hey there, Angry Planet listeners. Matthew here. What you've just heard is a 10-minute excerpt of about an hour and 10-minute-long conversation Jason and I had with Matt Gallagher, author, journalist, and veteran. It is all about his new novel and also a little literary scandal that bubbled up last week. It is a bonus episode for subscribers only over at angryplanetpod.com. You can sign up for $9 a month, get instant access to that episode, which is available right now. We're going to be doing more bonus content. Hopefully quite a bit more. You'll be getting quite a bit more for that $9 a month in the very near future. I've already got one lined up for next week I'm very excited about. That's all about the Houthis. So again, angryplanetpod.com. Sign up, $9 a month. It helps us keep doing the show. And hopefully we'll make this more of a full-time gig. We will be back next week with two conversations about conflict on an angry planet. Stay safe until then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.